hostel you, so please feel free to do whatever's comfortable. But if you want to stay up, then I want to learn a little tonight about some of the things we're going to be davening for tomorrow morning. If you ever look at all the things we say during Hoshanos, one of the main things we daven for is Hoshanos is rain. Many of the piyutim that we say in Hoshanos, but the Hoshanas that we say are explicitly about rain, and the Gemara even says that in the beginning of Tainis, that the Arba Minim, we shake the Arba Minim. One of the reasons we shake the Arba Minim, among many, is to daven for rain. And certainly, by the time we get to, not tomorrow morning, meaning Hoshana Rabbah, but the next day, to Shmini Atzeres, of course, we have the Tefillas Geshem, and we make a very, very, very big deal of davening for rain. But it's not just Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres. All year long, it's a very, very, very big deal. We know that you can mess up a lot of things in the davening, and okay, so you messed up, you're only human, and the Seder, but you may... What ruins everyone's Shemoneh Esrei? You mess up the Mashav Ruach Morad Hagashem, the same Talmud to the Bracha, right? In most circumstances, and you have to go back and say the whole Shemoneh Esrei, right? The Rav, you can quote from Chaim, a big lamdas, that if you skip Yalav Yavo, then it's 2 days in Tosos. Maybe you were Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei. It was still a good Shemoneh Esrei. Just you have to daven again to say Yalav Yavo. But it's not like, doesn't take away your tefillah. But Rav Chaim said that it's in the stencil that if you miss Mashav Ruach Morad Hagashem or Saint Talamot to Levracha, that it just ruins your whole tefillah as if you didn't daven at all. There seems to be something very important. When I was a little kid, I wonder, like, why did I have to make such a big deal of it? Like, Beseder, okay, you got to say the right things in the right season, but why is it the end of the world? Why does it mess me up all the time? That if you say the rain the wrong month, you skip it in the right month, it ruins your whole tefillah. Apparently, there's something very, very, very fundamental about Tefillas Geshem, not just on Shmini Atzeres, but all year long. We see this, for example, I just start with the Gemara. First Makor is the Gemara. If anyone doesn't have the Makoros, just raise your hand and someone will bring them to you. But the first Makor is the Gemara in the beginning of Tainis. After this first Makor, then we'll talk about things that are completely unrelated, and you'll have to trust me that eventually they'll relate back and tie together. But it says, "My Gvur's Geshamin." The beginning of Tainis talks about when do you say Mashav Ruach Morad Hagashem? The very first line in Maseches Tanit. Umanolan de Betfila. How do we know that in davening you have to talk about Geshem? Now, what do you have to talk about in Geshem? If you think about it, like, what do you have to talk about in davening? Right? Nidor Raisa. There's very little you have to talk about in davening. The Rambam says once a day you have to praise Hashem a little, ask for things, thank Him. The whole tefillah is all midrabanan. It's takana v'anshei knesset gedola. But apparently, there's a source midor Raisa for Mashav Ruach Morad Hagashem. Even though the whole thing was only written in the time of the second base of Hamikdash by Anshei Knesset Gedola, apparently the Mashav Ruach Morad Hagashem part is so important because it goes back to the Torah. The Tanya, the Braisa says, the Avos Hashem Elokechem Avdo B'chol Avavchem. You have to be Oved as Hashem with your heart. Ezeu Avodah Shebelev. How do you do Avodah in your heart? Avodah usually means bringing karbanos. Got to do that physically. What kind of Avodah do you do in your heart? Haviyom Ezeu Tefillah. You daven. Okay, so you have to daven. That's why the Rambam says to mitzvah say to David. Uchsiv batrei, but what does the very next pasuk say? Hopefully we should all know this pasuk. It's in Krishma. We should hopefully say it twice a day. Uchsiv batrei v'nasatim taritzchem b'toy ram al-kosh. Hashem will give us rain. Apparently giving us rain is put next to avodah b'lev because it's crucial for tefillah that tefillah be all about rain. Why is it so important that tefillah be all about rain? In order to answer that question, I'll have to ask a completely irrelevant question. Now, don't fall asleep. You can fall asleep now. Okay, so you won't get the answer to your question, Beseder. But just don't go to sleep after the next question, because then you'll think that I was criticizing Avraham Avinu, and you won't hear the defense of why I wasn't, okay? So don't go to sleep until we've cleared Avraham Avinu's name. The pasuk says, Makor number 2. Everyone knows this story from near the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Vayal Avram Mitzrayim Huv Ishtobachal Shalov Lodi Mahanegba. Avram went up from Mitzrayim with his whole family and Lot. The Avram kaveg ma'ova mekneba kesev azahav. Avram had a lot of riches. Vayelech lemasa of mi negev abeselad hamakom asher yasham alovat filav bein misel bein ha'ayal makom avis be'achsher asa sham b'rishona. Vayikrosham Avram b'shei Hashem. V'gam pasukei lelot ha'leches Avram ha'ya tzon of akar v'yolim. Lot had a lot of tents and specifically a lot of cattle. V'lona Everyone knows the story. We learned it in kindergarten, right? There wasn't enough grass for Lot's animals and Abram's animals. There was a fight between Abram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds, and the Canaanim were in the land. Abram said to Lot, let's not have a fight between us, between our shepherds, meaning let's not have a fight between our shepherds that'll develop to a fight between us. After all, we're close relatives. The whole land is before you. Let's separate. Let's split. Someone want to translate those words for me? Anyone want to translate for me?
If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right.
Okay. That's how many people understand the pasuk. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Meaning, well, you go one way, I'll go the opposite way, right? After all, if they split and Avram went the same way, I said that would be awfully silly. So Avram's saying, you go one way, I'll go the other way. Bit Seder. Okay, we won't even get into Rashi here, unless we have time at the end. Now what happens? Vayisa Lot et einav. Lot picks up his eyes. So Avram told him, let's split. Where's Lot going to go? Minastam, to the best place, right? What does best place mean in those days? Nowadays, I don't know, what would best place mean? The shortest commute to Tel Aviv, so he could work at a good job. I don't know, like a lot of parks and good schools for the kids. In those days, every place had a lot of parks. It was basically all parks. There was no traffic anywhere. And you didn't send your kids to school. So how does he decide where to go? Mistama, the best agriculture, right? Whatever's the most fertile, that's where you went in the old days. So, Lot picked up his eyes and saw it's called Kikar Yarden, the plains by the Yarden River, by the bottom of the Yarden River, what we now call Yam HaMelech. But at that time, it was not Yam HaMelech. Mistama doesn't say this anywhere in the Chumash, but Mistama only became Yam HaMelech after all the Melech that destroyed stone. So Kichula Mashke, it was all well watered. There were little tributaries that flowed in, right? There were little like rivers, streams that all the water flowed in. It was fresh water flowing. The Neshachet Hashem at Sdom et Amorah, obviously before the destruction of Sdom et Amorah. Ki Gan Hashem, it was like, what's Gan Hashem? What's Gan Hashem? Gan Eden, right? It was like Gan Eden, Eretz Mitzrayim, like Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is also well watered. Even if you look at a map, right, you see like the north of Mitzrayim, right? There's all these little like fingers coming out from the Nile River, and there's lots of water flowing there. So it was well watered. If you have water, you can grow whatever you want. It's Gan Eden. That's all you need. V'achatzar, all the way to Tzar. V'yivchar lo lodes kol kikari yadein v'yisalot v'kedem v'yipardu yishmelechim. So Lot chose the whole kikari yadein. And they separated. Avram Yashav Eretz Canaan. Avram stayed in Eretz Canaan. Lot apparently went someplace which is not called Eretz Canaan. Lot Yashav Ereki Kare Yahad Stom. And what was the problem? Of course, we know the end. Yan Shei Sedom Re'im Mechata'im LaShem Me'od. So basically, we all know what happened. Lot goes to Sdom. Lot gets into a lot of trouble. He almost gets destroyed with Sdom. Lot gets into a lot of trouble. He moves to a place of total Rishayim. I only have one question that I never thought about when I was in kindergarten. When I was a little older, I thought of the question. Hold on a second. If you're Avram Avinu, and you have a problem, there's not enough grass for you and Lot. I don't understand. Let's say I have my nephew living. I adopt my nephew. My nephew, unfortunately, I would have a nephew, theoretically, who would be an orphan, so I would adopt him, take him in, and I would see that we need some space. So what would I tell him? Why don't you go to the most sinful place imaginable and go off the derech and separate from me? Doesn't make any sense. I would tell him, like, what? Like, if he could do what he wants, I can't stop him from going off the derech. But I should suggest to him, why don't you go someplace nice, a from, wholesome, healthy environment where you can be separate from me but still grow up to be a good Jew? Why is Avram being machshel his nephew Lot and giving him the option of going to Sdom? Like, Avram should have known better than that. That's the kasha on Avram. Now you can't fall asleep until we answer the kasha. And it's not really strong kasha. The kasha is just based on the fact that a lot of people don't know what some words mean in biblical Hebrew, in Hebrew as used by the Torah. Which words did we mistranslate? Okay, let's look at Targum Onkelos. What does Onkelos say? Which words did we mistranslate? Number three. What does Onkelos say? What? Right. Onkelos says, "Halochal arak adamach et parish kan milvati imat litzipunav analadroma." You don't need, right? Even if you're not so good at Gemara, this is not hard Aramaic here. Imat litzipuna analadroma imat ladrona analitzipuna. What does he say? Yemin means south, And small means north. We know in the Chumash, Yamin and small have two different meanings. For example, just skipping around, in number 6, when Eliezer says to Lavan, V'atan Yeshkam Osim, or maybe to Besuel at that point, Chesed V'mesad Nihi Gidu Livim Loa HaGidu Li Efnel Yamin Yal Smol, he says, if you want to give me Rivka, fine. If not, I'll go right and left. There, he just went right and left. I'll go one way or the other way. I'll go someplace else. Unkelos translates in 7, V'ispani al yamina o al smala, just right and left. In number 8, when the Jews say, Moshe Rabbeinu says on behalf of the Jews, I think this one is Sichon, Nabar Nabar Tzecha, Lo Nabar B'Sidah B'Kherim, Lo Nishtem Eve'er, Derech HaMelech Neilech, Lo Nitei Yaminu Smol, we'll just go on the highway, we don't go right or left. Obviously, what does right or left there mean? It means right or left. We won't turn right or left off the highway and damage anyone's crops. Unkelos translates to number 9, Lo Nistei Liyamina Ulismala. So sometimes it means right and left, but sometimes it means something else. For example, look at number 4. When Avram fought the 4 kings, Vayichalek Aleim Laylahu Vavadavaya came, Avram split against them at night, he and his servants, and beat them. Vayir Defeim Ad Chova, he chased them until Chova Asher Mismol Damasek. He chased them to Chova, which is small of Damascus. We all know Damascus. How are you left of a city? You can't be left of Damascus. Like, it all depends which way you're looking, right? You can be north, south, east, or west of Damascus. And what does Onkelos say here? The only possible shot, the Itbali Aleam Leilu Huvavdoi Mechinon, number 5, Urdafina at Chova, Dimitzi Puna Ledamasek. Obviously, Chova is north of Damascus. I don't know if the archaeologists have found Chova yet, but if they do, they'll find it north of Damascus. I think Damascus is in the same place. So what do we see? Yaminu Smol sometimes means right and left, obviously, but sometimes it means directions. How do we know which direction it means? Well, which way is Kedem in the Chumash? Kedma, what's the next word? Kedma Mizracha, right? Says it a few places in the setup of the Mishkan and the Ari Miklat. Kedem is east. If you're facing east, I don't even know which way is facing east. Here, you don't need east, west, whatever. You just have the kotel right there, so you don't have to worry about those things. But if you're facing east, then anyone who remembers the compass, if you're facing east, on your right hand is south, on your left hand is north. Kedma is Mizracha. In the old days, nowadays, all our maps, north is on top. In their days, east was on top. East is forwards, because east is the direction of the sunrise. So Yemen is south, like Tayman is the southernmost country in the Middle East. And small is north. Onkelos could here have chosen to translate Yeminu Smol back to Avram and Lot. He could have translated Yemina Usmola, like in number 7 and 9. He could have said, Avram told Lot, you go right, I'll go left, you go left, I'll go right, meaning, I'll just go the other way. But instead, Onkelos chose to translate Spuna via Tsipuna Vidarona, Vidaroma, north and south. Why? How did Onkelos know? Not everyone agrees with Onkelos, but we'll go with Onkelos for now. He's a Tana. How did Onkelos know the right translation is north and south? The answer is Pashut, because which direction is Stone? Anyone know which direction we'd go if we want to go to Stone? Which direction would we travel to go to Stone? Stone is like Yam HaMelech. Which direction would we go to get to the Yam HaMelech? Anyone? We'd go east, of course. That's what the Pasuk means in, without getting to Rashi now, in Yud Aleph, Vayisah Lot Mikedem, meant Lot went eastward. Lot went eastward to the Yam HaMelech, to Stone. What is Onkelos telling us? Onkelos is telling us the defense, Avram's defense in court. Avram never told, when Avram said Yeminu Smol, what do you mean, you go right or go left? Obviously, if they're separating, they go in opposite directions. Avram needs to say, you go right, I'll go left, you go left, I'll go right. That's silly. Onkelos is telling us what Avram meant to say, what Avram not meant. What he said to Lot was, you go north, I'll go south. You go south, I'll go north. Where is south and north? So where do they live? They live someplace around between here and Hebron, someplace. You know, you ever see the country Israel? Right? You know how it works? There's like a range of mountains in the middle, right? And then like on the east side, it gets lower because it hits the Yarden River, the Jordan River. On the west side of the mountains, it gets lower because it hits the Mediterranean Sea. Avram lived on that mountain range, right? And what did Avram say to Lot? You stay on this mountain range. You can go south, you can go to Hebron. If you go a little further south, you hit Beersheba maybe. You could go north. You could go to Yerushalayim. You could go maybe north to Beit El, wherever you want, right? But stick on that mountain range. That mountain range is what's called nowadays the West Bank, right? That's where Avram wanted Lot to live, right? He said, this is the real Israel, right? Stick on this mountain range between Hebron, Beersheba, Hebron, and Beit El. And he told Lot north or south. Lot on his own decided to disobey the instructions. And he looked around. He had a big taiva for the place that he would become the richest. He'd become the richest in the most fertile area. So he went to Sodom, even though that wasn't offered to him by Avraham. And that's Pashup Shad and the Psukim, Yamin and Smol, north and south. Now, what we just have to understand, though, a little deeper is, A, what this has to do at all with what I claim to be talking about tonight. But also, at a very fundamental level, what is the difference between north and south? Why did Abraham say, stick on this mountain range? He didn't just tell him, don't go to Sodom. He said, don't go down to the west, near the Mediterranean. Don't go down to the east, near the Yarden River. What's so much better about that mountain range than about sloping down in either direction? And I think the yesod of this is found in a Mefurish Pasuk in number 10. The Torah says in Parshas Ekev, ki very famous Sukkim, ki aretz yaratava sham l'rishta, loch eretz mitzrayim, hi asher yitzas misham. The Hashem contrasts, Moshe Rabbeinu here, contrasts Eretz Yisrael, or Eretz Canaan as they called it in those days, and Mitzrayim. Asher tizra'a zaracha, because what happened in Mitzrayim? You would plant your seeds. You would water with your feet like a vegetable garden. Vegetable gardens need extra water. So in Mitzrayim, you would need to water things. What does water with your feet mean? There are different pshatim. What's the simple pshat? How do you water with your feet? Right? Water doesn't come out of your toes. How do you water with your feet?
Dig a ditch from the Nile.
You could dig a ditch from the Nile with your foot. That's what some people say. It's a lot of modern Mefarshim say. Or you could carry the water with your feet from the Nile, right? Obviously, you can't carry it too far. If you live a mile away, you're not going to carry it. But you live close enough to the Nile, close enough to those streams and rivers, that you can get the water there with your own feet. That's the point. In Mitzrayim, but you have to work. Okay, why is Israel better? The land we're going, which we now are in, Eretz Harim of Ka'od, is a mountainous land. How do you get water? How do you water your crops in a mountainous land? Like, think about it. Let's say you're in Yerushalayim, right? That's a mountain right here. How are you going to water your crops? You're going to bring water up from the Yarden River? Again, nowadays with modern technology, you just open up your faucet, right? But in the time of the Chumash, obviously there's no way you could get water from the Yarden River up to Yerushalayim. It's just too far from the nearest river. It's not like Kikar Yarden that Lot chose. There is not sufficient bodies of water in order to water your crops. And in the old days, if you don't water your crops, they don't grow. And if they don't grow, then you don't have food to eat, and everyone dies. It's a little hard for us to relate to nowadays, but you don't have to go back that long. 100 years ago in like China and places, and probably 200 years ago in Europe, if it didn't rain, people's crops didn't grow, and everyone who lived in that area died. They didn't have modern transportation to bring grain from elsewhere, and they couldn't have afforded it anyway, because no one had any money. So, why is Israel better? Because you can't bring rain here. Instead, though, you can't bring water here. Instead, you get the rain. Israel's better because you get rain. And why is rain better? Well, you don't have to work hard, right? It just falls automatically. So Israel is better, right? I don't know. How many people, I give you the choice? It's life or death. You could choose one place where you have to like work hard and get the water to your field, but you'd live. Another place where you really wouldn't have to work hard. It would come down automatically with the rain. Which would you pick?
Rain.
What?
Rain.
You might pick the rain, okay. But what's the disadvantage? Disadvantage, if it doesn't rain, then you die. It's that simple, right? So why is Israel better, right? I mean, I don't know, you guys are... If you ever invest, they ask you, what's your investment strategy? Aggressive or conservative, right? Would you rather like make a little money but like not have a risk of losing everything? Or would you rather take a big risk? And most people are more conservative. They don't want to take a risk. They're like, you know, they'd rather like have to work hard, have to work a few extra years to put money in their pension, but not take a risk of losing anything. So why is Israel better if you have to take a big risk? The answer is Pashut. Rashbam says it, but the next Pasuk says it. Why is Israel better? It's not better begashmiot. It's not financially, economically better. It's better because Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dereshu Ta. Because it's all up to Hashem. In Mitzrayim, you bring the water to your field. In Eretz Yisrael, Hashem brings the water to your field. Hashem's always looking at it. From beginning of the year to the end of the year. Now we're at both the beginning of the year and the end of the year. So why is Israel better? Hold on a second. Hashem, there's an interesting Ramban here. We're not going to get into that. Hashem only looks at Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean? He doesn't look at the rest of the world? Right? He doesn't know what's going on in the rest of the world? So I think Pshat of the Pasuk is very simple. In Mitzrayim, of course Hashem sees everything in the world. Of course Hashem rules the universe. But it doesn't look like, you don't feel that Hashem's watching you in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, I feel like if I work hard, I make money. If I work hard, I have what to eat. And if not, not. I feel like I take care of myself. I don't feel like Hashem's watching me because I don't need Hashem. You don't need rain if you're a farmer in Egypt, and you don't need rain if you're a farmer in stone. You take care of yourself. What's that called in Sefer Dvarim? What are you not supposed to say when you go to Israel? Kochi va'otzi yodi also liyisachayel azed. That I took care of myself. That I'm responsible for everything I have. In Mitzrayim, that's how you feel. In Israel, you need the rain. In Israel, you need the rain. You feel like you get up in the morning and you say, well, I really, really hope it rains. And you know there's nothing you can do to make it rain. It's actually one of the few things that even nowadays we still can't do. I have a college buddy who patented a way to make rain, but he hasn't actually gotten it to work yet. Apparently, like, you first patent everything that you think has a 1 in a million chance of working, and then actually see if it makes any sense. So he does have a patent on a way to make rain, but he hasn't gotten it to work yet. And it's been a good, I'm not going to tell you how many years since college, but we still can't make it rain. So that's why Eretz Yisrael is better, because you feel Hashem's looking at you. You feel like, hold on, I better live up to something, right? You feel that you need Hashem. You feel that everything comes from Hashem, and ultimately, right, that's what drives everything good in life. If you recognize, now, of course, wherever you are, everything comes from Hashem. Right, in Mitzrayim, like some guy in Mitzrayim, he's a very nice farmer, so he doesn't need the rain. Okay, but he'll have a heart attack if Hashem doesn't protect him, right? Or some guy will burn his house down, or whatever, or there'll be a war, right? You always need Hashem to protect you, even if the Nile River won't dry up. You always need Hashem. But in Mitzrayim, you can easily, it's a place where you fool yourself into forgetting about Hashem. And Eretz Yisrael is a place where you realize that Hashem's always watching you, and you feel that you need Him all year long. That's exactly what the Rashbam says in 11. We don't have to read it inside, because we just said it outside anyway, and he's just telling us, Pasuk Shad in the Pasuk. That is exactly what happened with Avram and Lot. What did Lot see? Vayaris kol kikar ha'yardein kichula mashkelef neshachet Hashem, etc. Kigan Hashem ke'eretz. Ke'eretz? Mitzrayim. He saw stone was like Mitzrayim. He saw, hold on a second, I'm sick of this Emunah thing. I'm sick of this Hashem thing. I'm sick of this always worrying that Hashem is watching thing. I want a break from this. I want to be my own master. I want to be my own Bailam. I don't want to need Hashem anymore. Mitzrayim was a great place. I love Mitzrayim. They didn't worry about Hashem there. I'm going to Sdom, which is like Mitzrayim, where I don't have to worry about Hashem. Of course, the last laugh was, as is usually the case when it's someone versus God, the last laugh is on the someone. The last laugh was on Lot, because he went to Sdom, where he didn't need Hashem, and because they always had lots of water, so fine, they had lots of water, except for the fact that he got captured by four kings in a war and lost everything he had, and had to be saved, and then the whole Sdom got overturned. Vayam ter Hashem al Sdom gafris va'esh. Fine, they weren't worried about the rain, Hashem will give another kind of rain, and he rained down gafrit va'esh ben Hashemayim. And Lot saw that everyone needs Hashem. If we just tie this back before we flip the page, what was my title? I was supposed to talk about rain and God, humanity, and society, something. Okay, we still have to figure out how to solve all the problems of human society. That's the second side of the page. But as far as between us and Hashem, right, that I think explains the whole perspective of the halacha towards davening and rain. What is davening all about? Davening is about a lot of things. Davening is very, very deep and sublime. But on the most pashut level, we're not going to be deep and sublime tonight. We're just going to try and understand things on the Pashut level, because my philosophy is you first have to understand the Pashut level before you can understand deep and sublime truths. So on the Pashut level, what's davening about? It's about, right, what is the they call davening in the Gemara? Boi, right? Right, to need. Davening is about needing something. Boi rachme, right? Davening is about needing something. Davening is about remembering that we need a lot of things. Okay, that we usually remember. But remembering that all the things we need are from Hashem. Davening is about remembering that everything we need is from Hashem and that we have to ask Hashem for what we need. Of course, we work towards achieving it as well, but ultimately, no matter what your philosophy is in Ishtadlus and Bitachon, and no matter how hard you work with Hashem, you might get what you want. Without Hashem's help, you are in big trouble and you're wasting your time. Right? So if the whole point of davening is, on the pshat level, is to make us feel that Hashem's watching us, that we need Hashem, that Hashem's judging us, that we have to live up to what Hashem wants from us, and that everything comes from Hashem. Refa'enu, our health comes from Hashem, and Baruch Aleinu, and our money comes from Hashem, and everything, and Atochonein, and our intelligence comes from Hashem. To remember that everything comes from Hashem, then if you bring that back to the Chumash, what's the one thing in nature that symbolizes that everything comes from Hashem? It's the rain. Rain is water, is the source of all life. Certainly, you know, even now it's the source of all life, just we have pipes, right, that bring it to our faucet. But rain is where everything comes from, is where everything starts. The rain only comes from Hashem. It can't come from anywhere else. Ultimately, if in the Chumash, the factor that made Avram and his descendants from and over the Hashem, because they realized they needed the rain, and that made Lot and his descendants and the Stomniks and the Mitzrayimniks go off the Derech because they forgot about Hashem, was rain. If rain is the factor that reminds us, that symbolizes the fact that everything comes from Hashem, then of course in Tefillah you need to remember the rain, because if you have the rain in Tefillah, then you're tying into the beginnings of our religion, to Avram Avinu and his remembering that everything comes from Hashem. And if you forget the rain, you mess up the rain, you take it lightly, you don't think it's important, then you're already betraying the whole point of Tefillah, because you're acting like Lot and forgetting that everything comes from Hashem. Now, I just want to take this a step further, because even some of these ideas I mentioned a little last year as well, if anyone was here, I want to take this a step further to another side of the coin. Go back to stone. Now that we understand a little about rain, someone tell me, what was so bad about stone? Run, b'chatoim Hashem, oh, they were the worst of the worst of the worst. What was so bad about stone? What did they do that was so bad? Did they worship tons and tons of idols? I mean, maybe, we don't know, right? We have no historical record, but Zelozeh, right? Everyone knows what was wrong with stone. They didn't treat their guests well, right? They were mean to guests, and particularly what kind of guests? And what kind of people were they mean to? Right? All the stories we heard in kindergarten? What kind of people do they mistreat? Guests? What? Poor people, right? The poor person came to town, everyone knows, right? There was like, everyone knows the story. The poor person came, right? And he would have like, he would ask for money, they would give him money but not sell him food, and he would die and they would take their money back. Or there was one girl whose like friend had no money and it was usher to give tzedakah in stone, so she like hid food in a jar when she went to the river and gave it to her, and then they caught her and they put her to death with horrible tortures and etc., etc. Right? They were very mean to outsiders, to poor people, etc. How do we know this is true? How do we know this is the sin of stone? Maybe it was other things. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they did a lot of incest. Maybe they did a lot of idol worship. Maybe they ate Aver Menachai. How do we know that the ichor thing that stone did wrong was that they were just, they didn't care about other people? They didn't care about poor people? How do we know? Because we learned in kindergarten, right? Okay, where did the kindergarten teacher get it from? So, many people, what? The Nevi'im, many people think the answer is because of Medrash, a Medrash Chazal. Now, Medrash Chazal is talking a good source, but I'll let you know a little secret. At least half of all the famous Midrashim you know are not, their source is not really in the Medrash. It's really an explicit pasuk someplace in Nach, just no one knows Nach, so they think Chazal invented it in the Medrash. This is a classic example. People think Chazal invented in the Medrash, they figured out on their own what the sin of stone was. Okay, some they could have if they wanted to, Chazal were smarter than me and you, but they didn't have to figure it out on their own. It's a Mefurish Pasuk in Yechezkel, number 12. Hine zeh yavon stom achotei. Hashem says, this is the sin of your sister stone, meaning this is the sin of stone. Hashem tells us what the sin of stone was in the Navi. Gaon sovas lechem. Stone was proud and full of bread, meaning they had lots of money. The Shalvat Hashkate, and they were quiet and peaceful. Haya level of those sahel were for Stone and its suburbs. Viyada Nivev Yon Loechzika, and Stone did not support poor people. That was the Ikra Veir of Stone. They didn't support poor people. They didn't give tzedakah. They didn't care about the people who were less fortunate. That's the sin of Stone. I just have a and in that way as well, Sdom was the opposite of Avram Avinu. Everyone knows, what did Avram do, right? The first thing you learn in kindergarten, what was Avram's best mitzvah that he did all the time? Hachnas Zorchim, right? When people came by who had nothing, right? Maybe they were rich back home, but right now they were poor. Avram took them in and gave them food and even taught them about the truths of religion. And Sdom, when they came by, they would put them for crusty in beds and they would do all kinds of mean things to them. So, what is Avram all about? If you look at 13, what does Hashem say about Avram? Ki yedativ l'mana sheyitzavis bonav yisbeisu acharav v'shamru derech Hashem lasot zedakah u'mishpat. What does Hashem know about Avram? Avram will command, he will pass down to his descendants to keep the derech Hashem. What's the derech Hashem? Is the derech Hashem toward tzitzis? Mitzvah, yes. Is the derech Hashem toward tefillin? Absolutely. Is the derech Hashem to keep Shabbos? Yes. But that's not what's in this pasuk. What's in this pasuk? Lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. To be charitable, to be kind, to be good to people. Hashem says, I know Avram will keep the derech Hashem to help people, to be a just and kind person. That's what he will pass on to his descendants. So let me tell him, Hashem says, I'm going to tell Avram, Zakastoma Raki Rabba, Eridana Ve'reaka Tzakasaba, Elayasu, Kala. Hashem tells Avram, I'm going to destroy stone. Why does he tell Avram, I'm going to destroy stone? The Mefarshim wonder, why does Hashem have to tell Avram he's going to destroy stone? Some people say, because stone was in Avram's country that you're supposed to inherit, and you're not allowed to destroy part of Avram's country without his permission. Okay, could be. But the simplest shot is, because Avram's whole point is to teach his kids the opposite of stone. Avram's whole point is to teach his kids tzedakah u'mishpat, to be kind to others, to share, right? To be just to strangers. So what does Hashem tell Avram? Hashem tells Avram, I have to tell you, look, Sdom is the opposite of what I want you to do. And I have to tell you, Sdom is the opposite, and Sdom gets destroyed. Because it's important for you to know, Avram. It's important for you to pass down through the generations that anyone who leaves the Derech Hashem, who does the opposite of Tzedakah U'Mishpat, who acts like Sdom, doesn't deserve to be in the world. The world can only exist if you keep the Derech Hashem. As a matter of fact, the word, I don't want to get into, we have 5 minutes for a tangent. The word ki yedativ, Hashem had this relationship with Avram called deya, yediya. What does yediya mean? Yediya, Hashem knows Avram. Now, there's a lot of mafarshim here on what it means that Hashem knows Avram, which I can't get into now, that has to do with Hashgacha Pratis, and there's a famous Ramban on Eov, etc. Not for now, look up the Ramban on Eov Perek Lamed Vav if you want. But ki yedativ, what does it mean for Hashem to know someone? Mistama, it's a relationship. Hashem knows me, I know Hashem. What does it mean to know Hashem? This is something that bothered the Rambam. The Rambam had to add an extra parak. You want to go home, look at the last parak of the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam had to add an extra parak to the Mor Nevuchim to explain this, because it didn't fit a lot of his philosophy, and he had to figure out how to get it to work out. Okay, the Rambam was really smart. He got it to work out somehow. We're not always smart enough to figure out what he meant, but he got it to work out. But what does it mean to know Hashem? A philosopher would say to know Hashem is to know theology and philosophy and how he runs the world and all kinds of fancy abstract philosophical ideas. That's what the Rambam sounds like in the whole Mor Nevuchim until the last parak. The only problem is that's not what the Tanakh says. What does knowing Hashem mean in the Tanakh? Everyone knows number 14, Ko Amar Hashem. Why does everyone know this Kitzaf Torah? Al Yisalel Chacham V'Chachmasov Yisalel Gibor V'Brasol Yisalel Asher Bashro. Don't show off if you are smart or strong or rich. Ki Im Bezos Yisalel Misalel. This is what you can show off. Haskel V'Yadoa Oti, knowing Hashem. What does it mean knowing Hashem? Ki ani Hashem oseh chesed mishpat tzedakah ba'aretz ki ve'elach hafatzinu um Hashem. What does it mean to know Hashem? Hashem does chesed mishpat tzedakah, to be a bal chesed like Avram. If you know that Hashem wants you to be a bal chesed ki ve'elach hafatzdi, that's knowing Hashem. Knowing Hashem means knowing the midos of being a bal chesed tzedakah. And this is explicit in another pasuk in Yirmiyah, also from Av Torah, but from Not Such a Happy Day. Don din ani ve'avyon 15 oz tov halohi adato tino Hashem. If you judge, you take care of, you defend the poor people, that's good. Halohia dato tim. What does it mean to know Hashem? What was Avram's yediyah of Hashem? What was ki yedatev? Why did Avram have such a close relationship with Hashem? Because he was the opposite of stone. He took care of poor people, took care of Achnosas Orchim, cared about others, and stone didn't. We see this a few places. I'll just mention in 16 that Vayetze Melech Stom. Melech Stone came out to greet Avram and did nothing. But what did Malki Tzedek do? Malki Tzedek brought Lechem Yayin, brought Hachnas Orchim, brought food and drink to Avram's soldiers. Why? He was a Kohen Le'el Elyon. Someone who's a real worshiper of Hashem, who's a real priest of Hashem. And after all, where is Shalim? Anyone know what city Shalim is? What? It's Yerushalayim, and Sefer Tehillim, Shalom, is used as a synonym. You know Sefer Tehillim, they have a lot of synonyms, because of the poetry thing, right? You need to say everything many times in synonyms. So Shalom is one of the synonyms for Yerushalayim, but he was Shalom Sukkot, Sukkot, right? It's Yom Onaso, right? Shalom is Yerushalayim. The king of Yerushalayim, what's Yerushalayim about? Yerushalayim is about Achnasat Orchim, is about giving people food and drink. Stone is about not giving people food and drink. Let me ask you a very simple question. Lot went to Stone. Did he have a little Avram in him in Sodom or not? Tell me a story. Obviously, yes. What's the story? When the Malachim came to Sodom, he did Achnas Orchim. He did better Achnas Orchim than Avram Avinu, right? Avram Avinu just cost him money to do Achnas Orchim. And maybe once he was sick and did Achnas Orchim. Lot risked his life to do Achnas Orchim. So, did Lot end up being part of Avram Avinu in history? Did he end his descendants end up being Jewish or not? No. Why not? The answer is Pashut. Go back to Pasuk 13. What's great about Avram is that he did Achnosos Orchim, or that? What did he do? He taught his kids and his household and his family to do the right thing. It's no kunst to be one person doing the right thing. If you don't teach it to your kids, it doesn't help. What did Lot? Did Lot teach it to his kids? No way. Right? His wife is the one who betrayed him, according to the Medrash, right? She wouldn't listen to him at all. His son-in-laws laughed at him. His daughters didn't believe a thing. Right? What happened to Lot's kids in the end? Look at 17. His kids, we all know, became Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab were kicked out of the Jewish people. Why? Because they were Mamzerim? Because their ancestors did incest? I don't think that was so pleasant and so nice, but that's not why they were kicked out. Hashem could have lived with that. Lo yava amoni moavi b'kal Hashem gam dor asiri lo yavo lai b'kal Hashem adolam al devar shelo kidmu etchem balechem v'mayim baderech tzeitchem mitzrayim. Ultimately, why did Lot's descendants get kicked out of the Jewish people? Because Lot acted like Avraham, but his descendants, Ammon and Moab, acted like stone, the opposite of Avraham. Lo kidmu etchem balechem v'mayim, they didn't act like Melchizedek, like Avraham, like a Kohen le'el Elyon. They, when the Jews came to Mount Ephraim, they didn't do Achnos Orchim, they didn't give them food and drink, they even tried to curse them, and therefore what we see is that Lot might have had a little pintle of Avram in him. He had a little still spark of Avram, but his kids, he educated in the ways of Sodom, and they got it good. They chopped. They were good Sodomites. When the Jews, when their cousins came out of Ephraim, were wandering in the desert, they didn't bring them any food and drink. Therefore, they don't deserve to be part of the Jewish people because they've shown their loyalty lies with stone and not with us. Okay, I have not too much time left. I just want to point out, this is a bit of a tangent. This is a bit of a... Anyone who doesn't like my here social, political agenda can feel free to walk out and protest now. But I think it's very, very clear that the Hashkafa of Judaism, what people call social justice is not what Torah calls social justice. I think for a lot of people, what people call social justice is just a bunch of liberal causes about Gilead Arias. But actual social justice, meaning to care about poor people. I'm not talking policy. I'm not saying whether you care about poor people means give them welfare or to help them get a job, whatever. That's not my inyan now. I'm not interested in getting into all these debates. But the main divide is not what you think you should do. The main divide is, do you care or do you not care? Right? Do you care about people who are less fortunate than you or not? Right? And it's not just an American thing. And it's not just, you know, in America it's very easy. Ah, all the people less fortunate than us. Ah, you know, a bunch of people, they look different than us, they have a different religion than us, or whatever, we never meet them, fine. How about in Israel? Right? There are a lot of people, there's a big underclass in Israel, a lot of people who are very poor, who have no jobs, who have no education, who are like stuck in a cycle of poverty, who are just as Jewish as you and me. And like, you know, do we at least care, do the Israelis at least care about them? Right? What do you, you know, do you vote for someone who says, I'm going to lower your taxes? Or for someone who says, you know, I'm going to really try to help bring people out of poverty? Yeah, I'm not talking about Haredim here. I'm just talking about Stam poor. That's already a loaded issue. I'm just talking about Stam poor people. So, I think it's very, very clear that it's very, very important to Hashem that we be on the side of Abraham, and that the opposite is like stone. I'll just read you from another Haftorah. This goes with 15. Haftorahs of not such happy days, except that 15 was a not so happy day. And 18 is the Shabbos before the not so happy day. Right, it's a holiday. I won't say what the not so happy day is. So it says in Shabbos Chazon, Lulei Hashem Tzvakot in 18, Otir lanu sarid kim'at, kistoma yinu amar davinu. We're almost destroyed like stone. Shim'u d'var Hashem. But Hashem says, listen, k'tzinei sdom, hazinu torat alokeinu amar morah. Listen, you stone mix. He says, Echai tal zonaki yenem anamali, ati mishpat, tzedek lelem, but you have tzedaka o mishpat, like Avram. Ata maratzkin, now you murder people. Kaspecha tal hayal sigin, savech mahol b'mayim, sarayach sorim v'charei ganavim, k'lo haib shochav rodev shamonim, yatom lo yishfotu. All the judges just help their cronies and their lobbyists. And they don't care about orphans. Geriv amanali v'alehem, they don't defend the widows. L'chein om Hashem, don Hashem tzakor avir Yisrael, hoi en achem tzorei en akel me oivai, the end of Shabbos Chazon. What's going to happen when Hashem's ready to bring us out to bring the geula? We'll have tzedek again. Tzedakah and mishpat will be redeemed. Without that, we're stone. Now, I only have 7 minutes left. I want to tie everything together here with a very simple observation, which I think is true. If you also think it's true, then you can be my friend. If you don't, then you can be my friend anyway, but you can be my wrong friend. Now, the stone, we just learned on the first side of the page that the difference between Stone and Avram was a religious, philosophical, theological difference. In Stone and Mitzrayim, they don't feel dependence on Hashem, they don't feel like they need Hashem, they don't feel Hashem watching. We, descendants of Avram, you know, Baruch Hashem, like in Israel nowadays, even though like there's not plenty of water, but there's enough water to go around and no one's going to starve, no matter how much it does or doesn't rain. It'll hurt the economy if it doesn't rain, but no one will starve. But Baruch Hashem, even nowadays, you go to Israel, you just feel like you need Hashem to watch over you more, with the terrorists and the Iranians and the Syrians and everything. You move to Israel, all of a sudden you start feeling like you're daven a little better because you, not that you need Hashem's help more, everyone needs Hashem's help, but you realize, you see more clearly how much you need Hashem's help. That's a theological difference. All of a sudden we go to the second side of the page and we see first side of the page, Ben Adam LaMakom. We go to the second side of the page, what's the difference between Stom and Avram? Ben Adam LaChaveiro. Stom were people who didn't care about anyone but themselves, and their chevra, and their clique. And Avram was someone who cared about those people who were less fortunate than him. Is this coincidence, or is there a relationship? Nira Lanias Daiti, that not only is there a relationship, it's Hainu Hach, it's two sides of the same coin, and that's the Yesod of Avram Avinu. The Yesod of Avram Avinu is that Ben Adam LaChaveiro of Avram Avinu, Ben Adam LaMakom of Avram Avinu, are connected, they come from the same root. And I'll tell you why. Very, very simple. Let us say that I'm a stomnik. I have a lot of money, right? Let's say I have a lot of money. All right, might as well. Imkvar, let's say I have tons and tons of money, right? You never know. Hashem's always listening. So, I have a lot of money, right? Now, poor people come and they say, can you share your money with me? The Medrash actually explains how Stone, you know what the Medrash says Stone said? It sounds like some people nowadays on the radio. Say, they said, we have a lot of money. The people around us have very little money. If we're nice to one poor person who comes by, then they'll all start come snoring here and we won't be rich anymore. We'll have to share all our money. Let's be mean to make sure that they don't come because, you know, if you're nice to one snorer, next day 100 come. That's what the Stone Nick said. Okay. It's very simple. If you live in Stone and you have a lot of money, Where do you think that money came from? There are two ways to live. One way to live is called stone. The money came from me, from my hard work. Now, Vad Hashem wants us to do hard work. But the stonics think the money came from my hard work. Now, if you think your money came from your hard work, what if someone else wants some of your money? You say, hey, buddy, get a job. This is my money. I earned it with my hard work. Why should I share it with you? You want money, you go work for it. Right? Ultimately, the failing of Ben Adam L'Chavero L'Anios Daiti comes from a failing of Ben Adam L'Makkel. If you think you could pat yourself on the back and take credit for what you have, why would you share it with someone else? On the other hand, if you're Avram Avinu, if you recognize that everything you have comes from Hashem, well, if it all comes from Hashem, then, you know, why do I deserve it more than anyone else? We're all created by Hashem. If it all comes from Hashem, maybe Hashem just wanted me to do mitzvos with the money. Maybe He just wanted me to mezakeh me with giving tzedakah with the money. Maybe Hashem only meant to give 90% of it to me, and 10% I'm supposed to distribute to other people that Hashem also created. If someone really lives with the feeling that whatever they have, they don't deserve, it's only a grace, Hashem gave it to them as a matnas chinam, Hashem graced them with it, then it's easier to part with your money. You're like, hey, Hashem gave it to me for free, I should distribute it to others as well. I should be like Hashem who does chesed. And ultimately, Nir Eli, Stom were such Rishon Ben Adam L'Chavero because they didn't think they needed Hashem, because Ben Adam L'Makom, they thought they got credit for what they had. It was all theirs. Avram was a tzaddik in an Avram's descendants. Excel up Ben Adam L'Chavero because they excel up Ben Adam L'Makom. If you really know it comes from Hashem, then you're not going to be selfish about it because, hey, you don't deserve it anyway. It's just a gift from Hashem. How can you take a gift and not give gifts? That doesn't make any sense. This is Medoyik in a few psukim, like for example, in Parshas Bahar, it talks about how the Jews have to treat everyone equally, even the poor people. In 19, I'm just going to read outside, the pasuk says, right, crazy things, they sound almost communist. They're not communist, but that's a different share. The pasuk says, you have to give everyone back their land every 50 years, even though you paid money for it. Why do I have to give people away land? So the pasuk says clearly, ki li ha'aretz, not li, Hashem. It all belongs to Hashem. If the land belongs to Hashem, why right do you have it? Of course you have to give it to whoever He wants. And when the Torah says how you can't keep a Jew as a slave and you have to let him go, it says, ki avadai he masher otzite otami eretz mitzrayim lo yimachrum keret aved. Of course I can't make someone else a slave to me, because we all belong to Hashem. We're all avadim Hashem. If you recognize that Hashem is the real master, then you're not better than anyone else. Then you're equal to everyone else. Ultimately, I think that is the this is the message as well as Pirkei Avos 22. Rabbi Lezer Ishbar Tota Omer Ten Lo Mishalo Shatav Shachal Shalo. Very simple. He says, why should a guy give tzedakah? Give Hashem what's his anyway. It's all from Hashem anyway. If it's all from Hashem, then of course you have no trouble parting with it. Of course you're willing to share it with people who Hashem wants you to share it with. I think, you know, there have been so many experiments in human history where they tried to make everyone, look at the communists. I know, communism now, you guys, probably communism is something like from Fred Flintstone. When I grew up, there was still communism in the world. But communism, even when I grew up, was like this totalitarian way of like oppressing people. But when communism started, 100 years ago, it was an idealistic movement. It was, hey, let's all be equal and share everything. And what happened to it? It turned into the opposite. Not only did it fail, it became the opposite of what it said. The whole point of communism was, let's all be equal and share alike, right? From each according to his abilities to each according to his needs. You probably read that from Karl Marx in high school. So, and what happened? It became a way for the members, the officials of the Communist Party, to take all the money for themselves and make everyone else poor. So what's pshat? I think pshat is very, very simple. Is that it's not going to work. Yeah, it's nice that you give a nice talk of communism. Let's share with everyone. But at a certain point, someone's going to say, but why should I? If I have all the power, why should I share it with someone else? Why should I share the power with someone else if I can have everything for myself? And there's ultimately no good reason to stop them. I mean, philosophy is nice, but ultimately in their heart, they're going to say, let me get whatever I can. And if I can be a party executive and get all the money for myself and oppress everyone else, then let me go ahead with it. I think the only real way to solve the fundamental problems of human society is with Avraham Avinu. You have to have an answer. You have to have something in people's hearts that tells them why they should be nice, why they should share with others. Why shouldn't I do everything I can get away with? And ultimately, the answer to that is Hashem. And not just because Hashem's going to zap me if I do the wrong thing. Because fine, so I won't kill someone because I'm afraid Hashem will zap me. But why should I really share? Why should I care about others? if I recognize that everything comes from Hashem in the first place, then, look, Hashem will give me however much He wants. Whatever Hashem gave me, I'm supposed to do the right thing with. I think only with the recognition of the same Talumatul of Racha, the Mashmarach Marin Agashem, recognizing everything comes from Hashem is the key to being a good person and perfecting society. I think this also solves a famous problem. And this is very similar to what's said by the Barbanel and others just from this particular angle. Everyone knows what's the famous Kasha in the beginning of Parshas Bahar? Rashi's question in the beginning of Parshas Bahar. What did it say in the beginning of Parshas Bahar? By Deber Hashem Moshe? Bahar? Bahar? Sinai Limor. And what does it talk about? Shemitah. Ma'inyan Shemitah. Eitzel Har Sinai. Shemitah and Yovel and letting the Avadim go, etc., etc. Basically, Bahar is all about people being equal. During Shemitah, we don't work the land. Anyone can eat whatever grows there. During Yovel, we send all the slaves free and we give everyone their land back. And basically, we're just sharing all the money with each other. We're making everyone equal. We're making this just society where everyone shares equally and everyone has dignity and everyone has something behind them. And no one's subservient to someone else in the long run. Okay? I think the answer is Pasha. What is the year of equality called? Krasim Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yashveh, like in Philadelphia? The Yovel. What's the only other place the word Yovel appears in the Torah? Besides the Yovel year, what's the only other place the Torah used the word Yovel? Okay, it's on 23. And Har Sinai, what musical instrument did Hashem blow Kibiyachal in Har Sinai? The shofar. And the shofar is called the Yovel. Why is Yovel used only for the Jubilee year and for Har Sinai? I think the answer is Pasha, because there's an Inyan to Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Ultimately, what is Har Sinai about? Har Sinai is about the fact that we're all subject to Hashem, we're all Avdei Hashem, that Hashem's the boss. Yovel is about how we share with our fellow Jews, how we share with others in our society. And the answer is Pasha, why do we share with others? If we all belong to Hashem, then no one belongs to anyone else. If all the land belongs to Hashem, then it doesn't belong to me. If all the money belongs to Hashem, then I have no right to hoard it for myself. Ultimately, there's of course an Indian of Yovel Eitzar Sinai, Shemitah Eitzar Sinai. The Indian is that the Yovel, the shofar we blow in the Yovel year, that says, Be'adam L'chaveiro, says no one's a slave. Everyone gets their land, everyone has dignity, everyone has a way. Having your land is like having a job. Right now, you can make money. Everyone has what they need, and no one's the boss of anyone else. Where does that koach come from? Where does the Ben Adam Chaviru come from? It comes from Mshokha Yovel, the Yovel of Har Sinai. That's the Indian of Shemitah, it's Har Sinai. We all stood at Har Sinai and say, Hashem's the boss, not me. If Hashem's the boss, not me, then we're all really equal to each other because all of us are Avadim of Hashem. And ultimately, the Yovel sound, the koach, yes, someone blows a shofar on the 10th of Tishrei every 50 years. Where does that have koach to transform society? It answers as koach, it's an echo of the shofar Hashem blew in Har Sinai that said, Ki li ha'aretz ki avadayhem, that he's the boss, and ultimately if you start with the right ben Adam lamakom, then you end with the right ben Adam l'chavero, and I think that's really the yisod of Mashmaruch Marta Geshem, of Avraham Avinu, of Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, and of really, it explains like 20, 30 more things in the Chumash, which you don't have time to deal with now, but I think it's time for our, imminently time for our next speaker, so I'll wish everyone a great Yontif, and Pitka Tova, and a great Chorif Zman of learning and growth. Thank you so much.
All right.
Sit down. So I'm thinking it's kind of like when Avraham, when Adam, he didn't. It says Yada.
Right, so the relationship that we have with God, with Hashem, is through obviously Adam had a physical relationship. Right, exactly. We know Hashem by knowing His midos. Otherwise, how can we know Hashem? He's unknown.
We don't see it, so that's more.
Exactly.
All right.
Very good. What's your name?
Tom.
Where do you learn?
MTA.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll see you around then.
Yeah, I'll see you around. Thank you very much.
So I think Tal is the same thing. Meaning, Tal is different because it always comes. Right? Meaning, it's not the same as Geshem. We're not waiting for Hashem to give you the Geshem. The Tal always comes. But ultimately, you know, it's in some ways the Tal is less than the Geshem. After all, it always comes. That's